All right, diving in today, we're tackling this whole idea of undivided loyalties. And what does that even mean when we're talking about money and all our stuff?
Yeah, it's a big one, right?
Huge. And to help us unpack it all, we've got some excerpts from a lecture by Dr. Bill Mounts. He's breaking down Matthew 6.19 and beyond, really getting into how we can put God first in a world that, let's face it, kind of screams at us to value wealth above everything else.
It does, doesn't it?
It really does. So going through this, a few things really jumped out at me. Like, what does it actually mean to amass heavenly treasures? Is that like a real thing? And then does prayer actually change things, you know, especially when it comes to finances?
I feel like that's a question a lot of us wrestle with.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then there's this strange analogy about the eye being the lamp of the body. What on earth does that have to do with money?
Right. It's not the most obvious connection.
Not at all. But Mounts has this way of making these ancient ideas come alive, you know, with stories and real life examples. So I'm excited to get into it. What do you think?
Me too. You know, there's so much talk these days about like manifesting and having an abundance mindset, which, you know, at their core, those things aren't bad and not inherently wrong. But Mounts points out something super important. He says, Jesus wasn't condemning wealth itself. The problem comes when those earthly possessions, when they become the things we treasure most, that's where we get into trouble.
Okay, so it's not about like being poor or having nothing. It's more about where our heart really lies.
Exactly. He even uses the phrase, don't treasure treasures on earth. It's so good. And he tells the story about a friend of his. This guy was all about business deals, just loved making money. And he actually admitted that hitting $1 million profit, he said it was an incredible rush, better than any drug.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty powerful. But it really makes you think, right? Like, what motivates your financial pursuits? What gets you excited when it comes to money?
Yeah. I think for me, it's probably that sense of security, knowing I can take care of my family,
right,
you know, not stressing about bills and all that. But hearing that story, I wonder if there's something even deeper there. Like maybe a need to prove something, or I don't know.
That's a great point, that need to prove something. Because then Mounts goes on to talk about this idea of amassing heavenly treasures instead. And unlike earthly riches, you know, the kind that fade away, these have eternal value. He even quotes Randy Alcorn. Have you heard that one? You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead.
I love that.
Right. So good. It's about using what you have now to make an impact that lasts, you know, beyond your lifetime.
That's thinking way bigger than just like getting that next promotion or whatever. So how do we even go about amassing this heavenly wealth? Like, practically speaking, what does that look like?
Yeah, good question. Mounts actually lays out this three-part framework, and it starts with a pretty radical concept. He says we have to recognize that everything we have, it ultimately belongs to God. It's not really ours to hoard or control. It's a gift that's been entrusted to us.
It's kind of like we're managing someone else's money. It's not about building our own empire. It's more like we're stewards.
Yeah, exactly. We're stewards. That's a good word for it.
It's humbling when you think about it that way.
So humbling. And that leads to the second part of the framework. It's all about stewardship. We're managers of God's resources. So we're responsible for using them wisely, not just for our own comfort, but for something, you know, bigger than ourselves.
Okay, so it's not about feeling guilty for having nice things. It's more about the heart behind it.
Yeah.
Like what you do with what you have.
You got it. And that's where the third part comes in. It's about advancing God's purposes. So the question is, are we using our resources, our talents, our time, you know, everything, are we using it to further his kingdom? Or are we just focused on our own ambitions? Because that's what builds those lasting treasures. That's how we amass that heavenly wealth.
It makes you think about those stories of like people who give away huge portions of their wealth, like they make millions and then they just give it away.
Huh. It's like they understand that it's not really about holding on to it.
Exactly. And one thing that really stood out to me in Mounts' talk was how he challenges this idea that prayer doesn't change anything, you know, especially when it comes to finances, because sometimes it feels like, OK, I'm praying about this financial situation, but is it actually doing anything?
Right, right.
But he argues that prayer actually can move God to act in ways he might not have otherwise.
That's interesting. So it's not just about asking for stuff.
It's not. It's more about aligning our desires with God's will and then playing an active role, not just sitting back and expecting things to magically fall into place.
Right. Like we're partnering with God in some way.
Exactly. Now, one of the most thought-provoking images Mounts uses is this analogy of the eye being the lamp of the body.
Ah, yes. the eye analogy.
It's all about how our relationship with money actually reveals what's really important to us, what we truly value.
Okay, yeah.
But I got to hear this eye thing explained. It sounds kind of strange.
It is a little bit of a head scratcher at first, but basically Mounts explains it like this: a healthy eye, it's one that lets in a lot of light, right? It sees clearly, and that represents a singleness of purpose, you know, where God is our focus. But a bad eye, it's all blurry. It can't see things as they truly are. And that signifies a divided heart where material wealth is kind of vying for attention alongside God.
And so it's like our heart is like a flashlight. And what we're shining it on reveals what we truly value. If we're constantly chasing after money and possessions, well, that's where our light is pointed. But if we're focused on God and his purposes, our light shines differently.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah, and this leads directly into another bold statement that Jesus makes. He says, no one can serve two masters. Like, we can't be devoted to both God and money. We have to choose.
It's like trying to walk in two different directions at once. You just end up going nowhere.
Exactly. And this reminds me of something John Piper wrote in his book, Don't Waste Your Life. He basically says, what's the point of all our striving if it's just for stuff that ultimately won't matter? We're made for something so much bigger than that.
So if we can't serve money, what does it look like to serve God with our finances? Mounts did say we should enjoy what we've been blessed with, right?
He did, but he also pointed out something really interesting. He said, it can actually become harder to be generous the more money we make.
Why do you think that is? Is it just human nature to want to hold on tighter to what we have?
I think it's a lot more complicated than that. You know, Mounts brings up how the average American only gives about 2.2% of their income to charity. That's drastically different from the Old Testament tithe, which was at least 10%.
Maybe it's that the more we have, the more we're tempted to believe we earned it rather than seeing it as a gift from God.
That's a great point. And Mounts also talked about how modern society just bombards us with messages that happiness is found in buying things, you know, in keeping up with the Joneses. It's so easy to get swept up in that and lose sight of what truly matters.
Speaking of getting swept up, Mounts mentioned that vivid image of holding wealth loosely with fingers outstretched. It reminds me of those claw machines where you think you've got the prize, but it slips right through.
That's a perfect analogy. It's about being willing to let go, you know, to trust God with our resources rather mm-hmm. than clutching them so tightly that we miss out on the blessings that come from being generous. Mounts even said he wants to die exhausted after using everything God's given him for the kingdom.
Okay, that's a bit intense, but I get what he's saying. It's about living with that single-minded purpose.
Yeah.
Not wasting your life on things that won't last.
Mm.
But practically speaking, how do we even begin to shift our mindset?
Mounts shared this anecdote about a friend of his. This guy had worked hard and achieved a lot of financial success, but he still struggled with generosity. He finally bought his dream car, you know, a top-of-the-line BMW.
Oh, yeah, I remember this story. Didn't something happen to the car?
It did. Not long after he bought it, a bus backed into it and dented the hood pretty badly.
Ouch. I'd be devastated.
You'd think he would want to get it fixed right away, right?
And?
But instead, he decided to leave the dent there as a tangible reminder of his priorities. It was a way to keep himself grounded, you know, to remember that earthly possessions are fleeting.
That's such a powerful visual reminder. I mean, who wants to walk around with a dented luxury car? Mm. But it clearly served a purpose for him.
It did. And for us, it raises the question, what are our dents? You know, what are those things that can jolt us out of complacency and remind us of what truly matters?
That's a great question to think about. You know, one thing that stood out to me is that Mounts didn't just talk about giving money. He emphasized that generosity isn't limited to finances. It's about our time, our talents, our energy, basically anything we have to offer.
Absolutely. It's about using our God-given gifts to make a difference in the world, whether that's volunteering at a local soup kitchen, mentoring a young person, or simply being a kind and encouraging presence in the lives of those around us.
And he even challenged the idea that we have to wait until we have a lot to be generous.
Mm-hmm.
He pointed out that some of the most impactful movements in history were fueled by ordinary people who gave sacrificially out of what little they had.
That's so encouraging, isn't it? It reminds us that we don't have to be rich or famous to make a difference. We can all be generous with what we have, no matter how small it may seem.
So it's not just about writing a check. It's about a heart posture of being willing to share whatever we have, even if it's just our time or a listening ear.
Exactly. And that brings us back to the heart of Mounts' message, undivided loyalty. It's about aligning our hearts with God's purposes. And that often involves letting go of our tight grip on material possessions and using them to bless others to advance his kingdom.
So how do we navigate the tension between enjoying the good things God has given us without becoming enslaved to them?
Yeah, it is. It's a real balancing act. You want to enjoy what you've got, but you don't want to be like controlled by it all.
Right, exactly. Like God created us to enjoy the world, to appreciate good things. But where's that line? When does it go too far?
Well, Mounts uses this term, blessed detachment. I think it was actually Martin Lloyd-Jones who coined that phrase. But the idea is it's not about like depriving yourself or living this super austere life. It's more about recognizing that everything ultimately belongs to God anyway. So you can enjoy your possessions, but you don't let them own you.
So it's like finding that security and knowing it's not really yours to lose in the first place.
That's it. And he tells this incredible story about a friend of his, David. He and his wife were traveling in Latin America, and they were attacked, robbed, they were tied up, and a young woman in their group was assaulted. It was just a truly terrifying experience.
Oh, gosh, that's awful. I can't even imagine going through something like that.
Yeah, it's hard to even fathom. But for David, it was a turning point. He realized that all the things he'd been working so hard for, you know, the big house, the nice car, all of it, it could be gone in an instant. And it made him really question what was truly important, you know.
It's like suddenly you see your whole life from a completely different perspective.
Exactly. And for David, it led to a radical shift. He simplified his lifestyle. He sold his house. And he really dedicated himself to using his resources to help others. It was such a powerful example of how God can use even the most difficult circumstances to, like, refine our priorities, to draw us closer to him.
Makes me think about how easy it is to get caught up in the comparison game. You know, always wanting what others have, never feeling content.
Mounts talks about that a lot, actually. He warns us that when we tie our sense of worth and security, material wealth, we're just setting ourselves up for disappointment. It's like building a house on sand, he says. It might look impressive, but it won't stand up to the storms of life.
Oh, I love that analogy. So how do we build our foundation on something more solid, something that won't crumble when things get tough?
It starts with recognizing that true security and identity are found in Christ alone. When we really grasp who we are in him, our value doesn't go up and down based on our bank account, you know, or what kind of car we drive.
It takes so much pressure off when you think about it that way. Your worth isn't determined by what you have or what you achieve. It's so freeing.
So freeing. And Mounts gives some really practical advice on how to cultivate that unshakable trust in God. He talks a lot about immersing ourselves in the Bible, allowing God's truth to, like, shape our thoughts and actions. He also talks about the power of prayer, you know, bringing our needs and fears before God, seeking his guidance and provision.
It's like we're building that direct line of communication, constantly reminding ourselves who's really in control.
Yeah, love that. And he also reminds us we don't have to do this alone. We have a whole community of believers who can support us, encourage us, people who understand the challenges and can help us stay on track.
It's like having a team of cheerleaders and accountability partners all rolled into one.
Right. And towards the end of his lecture, Mounts leaves us with this really powerful challenge. He asks, if you knew you were going to die exhausted after a life of serving God, what would you do differently today?
Whoa. That's a question that really makes you stop and think. It's so easy to get caught up in the day-to-day and lose sight of the bigger picture.
It is. It really is. And that's why he encourages us to live each day with eternity in mind. Not in a morbid way, not obsessed with death or anything, but recognizing that our time here is limited, you know? It's about making choices that reflect what truly matters.
So as we kind of wrap up this whole deep dive, what are some key takeaways we can apply to our own lives?
I think the biggest one is that our relationship with money, it's a spiritual issue. It's not just about numbers in a spreadsheet. It reveals what we truly value, where our hearts are ultimately focused.
And that ties right back to that idea of undivided loyalty, choosing to serve God with our whole hearts. And that includes our finances.
Absolutely. And it's not a one-time decision. It's a daily choice. Mm. It's about aligning our priorities with God's will day in and day out.
And remembering that generosity isn't just about money. It's about a willingness to share whatever we have, whether it's our time, our talents, just a listening ear.
Exactly. And the most important thing is to just take action. Start small, but start somewhere. Make that effort to be grateful for what you have. Find a cause you're passionate about and give generously. Look for ways to use your gifts, whatever they are, to make a difference in your community.
It's about making those intentional choices. Mm-hmm. Now, choices that reflect our desire to live a life of purpose and generosity, a life that honors God and makes a real difference in the world.
Beautifully said. And just remember, we don't have to be perfect. None of us do. We're all on this journey and we're going to stumble along the way. But as we seek to align our hearts with God's purposes, we'll experience that joy and freedom that comes from living a life of undivided loyalty.
That's what it's all about. Thanks for diving deep with us today. We hope this has given you some food for thought, some practical steps to take as you figure out how to live a life that truly matters. We'll see you next time.